Today I'm going to talk about month three in Jen Hatmaker's book seven, looking at possessions. This month is slightly different to the two preceding it. In month three, she isn't trying to reduce her life to just seven usable items, although that would have been interesting. Instead, the plan is to give away seven items a day for the month, making 210 altogether. Jen starts with her wardrobe and donates 202 items of clothing straight away. She also clears a similar number of items from her children's wardrobes, and so decides that clothes only count for the first 7 days. After that, she has to give away other things. And she does, donating bags, books, household items, her beloved boots, and so on. So what can we learn from this? Although we might not think it, most of us are wealthy. In comparison to the majority of people living in this world, most of us have what we need and more. I would never call myself rich, but in comparison, I am. I have a home, I have a regular income, I have enough clothes to choose different things to wear every day. I have so many possessions that I have furniture that I keep them in. I can clear my house out and give items away and still have more than I need. I'm very fortunate, and I have done nothing to deserve that fortune other than to be born into a wealthy nation at this time. I don't have these possessions in this life because God favours me more than others. It's just circumstances. So why, when we already have so much, do so many of us still buy more? An easy answer is, oh, it's capitalism. We live in a society where the accumulation of wealth is seen as a worthy goal, and in order to maintain and grow the wealth of others, we grow our own wealth in order to buy from them. Our economy needs us to keep manufacturing and purchasing, and then replacing and purchasing more, and the supply and demand keeps on going and going, and I don't think we're going to change that anytime soon. We are surrounded by advertising, by a subtle and clever form of manipulation that few of us are actually immune to, however savvy we think we are. Advertising works on a number of levels, creating need, creating desire, creating temptation, and it's generally very successful. Sometimes we're aware of it, and sometimes we really aren't. Do I choose that brand because it's the one I really want or need? Or do I choose it because the idea has been planted subconsciously through adverts I've seen? And sometimes it's hard to tell. And there is also a pleasure in shopping, whether it's buying something we really need or something we really want. I'm not a big fan of shopping as an activity per se. I wouldn't usually choose to spend an afternoon trailing around the shops, but I will confess to quite a bit of online browsing, which is much easier. But more recently, I've become conscious of what and how much I have and whether or not this is a situation I want to change. There's a really good saying, happiness is wanting what you already have, and I think that's really true. Contentment is something I certainly crave, and I'm sure many of us do. Learning to be content with our situation, including our possessions, is something worth aspiring to. I also love the phrase from Aaron Watson's song, Blue Bonnets in the Spring, where he sings, pack light and love heavy, which isn't just about the stuff we have, but a worthy reminder of what's important in our lives. However, it's easy to forget this, to forget to put our trust in God. Do we keep our possessions around us because we're scared to let them go? One of our most basic needs as human beings is for security, and having our things around us can make us feel very secure. Opening up and giving them away can make us vulnerable, and that is a very uncomfortable feeling. In the readings set for today, Matthew 6 and 1 Timothy 6, We are reminded not to store up riches on earth, but to focus on treasure in heaven by putting our hope and trust in God. But that's not an easy thing to do. And there are things we need for daily life. It's just that sometimes it's easy to mix up what these are, and they aren't the same for everybody. Some years ago, I taught antenatal classes for the National Childbirth Trust, and one thing I was often asked by new parents was what they needed to buy. New parents are a great captive market for products and are told that they need all sorts of gadgets and gizmos to care for their baby and give them the best start in life. And let's face it, who doesn't want to give their baby the best start in life? In order to explore this, I used to give the parents items from a recent baby catalogue and ask them to put them into three groups. What you need, what's nice to have, and what is a complete novelty. I also tried this out with a group of mum friends, and the results were surprising. I'd had a good laugh about the baby nose cleaner, a device that suctions snot out of tiny baby nostrils, and had put it down as a real novelty. But one of my friends told me it was an essential, saying this item had been the only thing that kept her sane and got her enough sleep whenever her baby had a cold. Generally, babies don't need very much. They need food, they need to be clean and warm, and they need to be loved. And the only thing all new parents should have is a pack of muslin squares. You can bath a baby in a washing up bowl, they can sleep in a drawer, but you've got to get the muslin squares. And as babies get older, they need all sorts of stuff. And anyone with small children has probably got a house full of garish plastic toys, high chairs, push chairs, changing mats, bath toys, cuddly things, etc. Yes, you could argue that you don't actually need all this stuff, but it certainly makes life a lot easier. And as the parent of teenagers, the amount of stuff doesn't really change. It just gets much smaller and much more expensive and requires constant Wi-Fi and the use of all available plug sockets in the house for charging purposes. So, Shay Lydon, we've got a lot of stuff. And we used to have more. I've still got a drawer of my favourite baby items that Hannah and Evan had that I refused to get rid of and which has had Paul referring to me as one of those strange hoarders that has a house full of rotting newspapers. My husband hates clutter with a passion and does his best to remove it. As an example, his favourite day of the year is when the Christmas decorations come down and all the glittery tat is gone. And yet, he does now own at least four reusable cups and has just instigated a special drawer just for golf stuff. We do have lots of possessions, despite having cleared out an awful lot over the past couple of years. Paul loved having a skip and was the only one who was allowed to put things in it, as there is a certain way of loading a skip, apparently. I've watched Marie Kondo. By the way, if nothing else, please watch and learn how she folds clothes. It's honestly life-changing. And I've been strict with myself about items I'm not too sure about. I've honestly asked, does this spark joy? And if it doesn't, it goes in the charity shop bag. I cleared out boxes of books to make a room we could play music in. And when I wavered over a particular title I knew deep down I would never read again or lend to anybody, I took a lead from Marie, thanked the book for its service, and put it in the box. But was this enough? Are my possessions keeping me from a closer relationship with Jesus? I don't think that I spend a lot of time thinking about them or looking after them. I keep them clean enough and am conscious not to keep adding to them, but is that really enough? How can I reduce the physical clutter and become closer to God? As much of a fan of Marie Kondo as I am, and as much as we would like to live in a minimalist space where you never have to do any dusting, this chapter of 7 isn't about decluttering in order to make space. Having a tidier house is a lovely upside, but it really isn't the point. The lesson is about learning to hold more lightly to what you do have, to value spiritual treasure, and to walk more closely with Jesus. It's about learning to pack light and love heavy. So how has reading 7 changed me in regard to what I own? It made me think about how much stuff I have and that I wanted to try to give some of it away. But in a way, having a clear out is easy. We can all pack a bag of stuff we don't need or like. We can give it to the charity shop or we can take it to the tip. There's not much of a challenge there. And there also isn't much point in giving away things that we do need. If I give my bed away, I'm still going to need a bed. So this has required some thought and some prayer. I spent some time praying and asking God to give me an opportunity to give something I have to someone that really needs it. And a couple of opportunities arose. I've put a book I really enjoyed in my bag for the next time I see my violin teacher, as she's never read it. Tidying my daughter's room, I came across a character skirt for ballet and was able to give that to her dance school so that they could give it to a family that really needs it and can't afford it. But one or two opportunities hasn't seemed like enough. So I prayed some more, and God answered me by reminding me that if I am going on a spiritual journey, I do need to do some of the groundwork myself. So I spent quite a lot of time researching charities and organisations that are in need of things, and then looked to see if we have said things. It isn't easy to donate things. Sometimes the charity just really needs the money. But I found some that are taking donated items and started a few collections. My challenge in Lent is to give away good quality usable possessions to somebody that needs them more than I do. Some of these have been easier than others. The bedding that we don't use isn't difficult to give away. But others have made me pause a little more. One of the charities I'm looking at is a women's refuge. They help women who have fled abusive relationships, often in just the clothes they stand up in. And the charity collects clothes and household goods. I put in some clothes I no longer wear that are in good condition. And then I looked at the clothes I spent quite a bit of money on and would still wear. And I thought about leaving your home, running for your life and the lives of your children, and leaving everything behind. And I thought about being given nice clothes to wear that made you feel like you were valued as a person and not somebody who's only worthy of the clothes that nobody wants. These women have had enough of a challenge to their self-esteem, often through years of abuse. To give them something to cherish and to remind them that they are cherished seemed like a real act of love. I'm not presenting myself as somehow having transcended my own selfishness and become some kind of saint. There is one dress that has been in and out of that bag quite a few times. But even the time I've spent thinking about this, looking for people to donate to, praying for the recipients, all of this has made me really think about listening to Jesus. Jesus can help us to pack light and love heavy. So during Lent, the Leiden household is becoming a little less cluttered as we find places to donate to. So far, we're building parcels for Ashiana Women's Refuge, the Archer Project working with the homeless, Roundabout, which helps young people find homes, and Emmaus, another charity that helps homeless people find work and purpose in life. This might be something you want to do. It might not. You might want to bring items to the clothes swap here at St. Peter's later on today. 7 isn't a how-to guide. Jen isn't telling us all what we have to do in order to have a better relationship with God. She's sharing what she did and how it impacted on her life. We can take it or leave it, but there's a challenge in the processes that she and her family went through. And personally, I found it really made me think. Thank you.